Well, while this is loading, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to come speak today to tell you about the exciting things that we're doing in California to hopefully improve the nutrition quality of foods that are distributed through the Emergency Food Network. Before I get started, I just want to acknowledge my colleagues, Karen Webb and Pat Crawford from the Center for Weight and Health, Michael Flood from the Los Angeles Food Bank, Marla Feldman from Mazone, and Ken Hecht from the California Food Policy Advocates. So just to give you a quick overview of what I'm going to be talking about today, I wanted to share with you the background that led to the events that led to this project, talk a little bit about the goals and objectives and the funding for the project, and then wrap everything up talking about next steps and challenges that we see for the future. So the background. In the 80s, the Emergency Food Network existed really to aid in disaster relief. And then in the past 20 years, we've seen this evolution where all the individuals, or most of the individuals that are now going through the Emergency Food Network, are chronically food insecure. And what we're seeing is that food insecurity is increasing. We're also, in this economic time, we're also seeing that there is an obesity epidemic in the United States as well. So on one hand, we have this obesity epidemic. On the other hand, we have rising food insecurity, and what often researchers refer to as the hunger-obesity paradox. How can they coexist? Well, the link between hunger and obesity is not well understood, but one of the theories, is that the cost of energy-dense but low nutrient foods is much less than the higher cost, right, of energy dense, nutrient dense, energy poor counterparts. So while this is happening, at the same time, the Emergency Food Network is also evolving, and because of the improvement in technology, in food industries, the emergence of secondary markets such as Aldi's and dollar stores, where they're also now selling food, the Emergency Food Network is starting to see donations of nutrient-poor foods. So I just wanted to give everyone, I'm not sure everyone's backgrounds, I wanted to make sure we had an understanding of how the Emergency Food Network works. And here's a flow chart that symbolizes it for us, but really, at the top are food banks. So food banks procure food, they procure donations, and some food banks across the country, there are roughly just over 200 food banks across the country, they do direct service to clients, a few of them. But really, the majority of food banks serve food pantries, soup kitchens, and shelters, and it's those emergency food programs, the food pantries, soup kitchens, and shelters, that actually serve the clients directly. Now, an interesting fact, the last hunger study, so Feeding America, which is this parent affiliate of food banks across the country, every 4 or 5 years, they do a hunger study. And in the last hunger study, it stated that 65% of food pantries are seeing an increase in demand for food. But at the very same time, they also report that food banks are their largest contributor of food into the network. So what we're seeing is that the Emergency Food Network is really a large contributor to the diets of food insecure individuals. And because it's increasing, it's really important that it necessitates a look at the nutrition practices and policies and the food coming through the Emergency Food Network. So I'm going to talk a little bit more specifically about California now. There are a lot of initiatives going on across the country, but my talk is going to focus on California. So as food insecurity is rising, there's an economic recession, government officials and funders are starting to voice concern about the health of food insecure individuals. And so there's a lot of political pressure to defend food assistance. But luckily, this has been a topic that nutritionists and anti-hunger advocates have been working on for quite some time. So they were swift to respond. And for example, just two responses, the Food Research and Action Center created a white paper. They called it the Hunger Obesity Paradox and talked about how potentially we are seeing these two conditions coexisting. And then UC Berkeley often was speaking at anti-hunger organizations and trying to educate on the importance and the link between hunger and obesity. While all of this is happening across the country, food banks, Feeding America, had been making a concerted effort to approach farmers. They saw this potential for untapped donations, which would help farmers out and also provide more fresh fruits and vegetables into the donation stream. And this was all just starting to begin. So of course there are critics, right? There are always critics. And the critic said to us, why are you working on improving the nutrition quality when we're seeing increase in individuals coming to the emergency food network? We need to get as much food into the network as possible. Well, as nutritionists and anti-hunger advocates, we'd say, well, we have a responsibility not only to feed individuals who are food insecure, but feed them well. And that became the mantra. And Pat Crawford, my boss at UC Berkeley, summarized it really well by saying, dealing with both hunger and nutrition means we can be proud to say we are addressing people's needs for enough calories to feel full, and this is important, right? But also their needs for enough nutrients to lead a healthy and productive life as well. So Mizone decides to take on the challenge in California. They decide that they're going to develop a plan to help the Emergency Food Network in California improve their nutrition practices. So Mizone is a Jewish response to hunger. It's a foundation that provides funds to anti-hunger organizations across the country. And their staff felt very strongly that they needed to step up to the plate and have a voice in this discussion about nutrition and obesity and see what they could do to help improve practices. So in California, they decided to take a number of approaches to engage key stakeholders. And so I put a few examples up on the slides for us, but annually, Mizone has a conference, and they invite all of their grantees in California to come to the conference, and it's their opportunity to do basically continuing education with emergency food providers, those people who are on the ground providing services every day. And so the Center for Weight and Health at UC Berkeley was asked to come to this particular conference and really have a discussion and talk and explain why it was so important that we talk about hunger and obesity and nutrition all in the same breath, that they really need to be an idea that come together. At the same time, Mizone went to speak with Ken Hecht, who is the director of the California Food Policy Advocates, and asked him to come speak to the board of directors at Mizone so that we could get some board support to move forward with this initiative. And Ken, if anyone knows him, is very persuasive and did an excellent job. And so the board makes a commitment, the board of directors for the Mizone made a commitment that nutrition really needs to be a new focus with Mizone. So then Mizone also approached California Endowment. And the California Endowment is known for doing evaluations in California and also focusing on health of Californians. So this was a perfect opportunity to talk to them about a whole sector of their California population that they had not necessarily been addressing before. And so the California Endowment agreed that it was very important and gave funding to Mizone to create this California Healthy Eating Initiative for the Emergency Food Network. So Mizone pulls together a group of key stakeholders, including their own grantees within California. So my boss is from Australia, and so often she uses some fun lingo, and so I kept her lingo in here, where it says a clever mix of key stakeholders. So the clever mix of key stakeholders that Mizone addressed, of course, Mizone's involved, the California Food Policy Advocates, emergency food providers across California. So it's important to note that, like in my earlier slide, that there are large organizations like food banks down to a food pantry at St. Mary's Church who's handing food to low-income individuals or food insecure individuals. So they really try to get a good representation of large and small and medium-sized organizations that are doing anti-hunger work. They also engaged anti-hunger advocates and then asked UC Berkeley Center for Weight and Health to help support the nutrition aspect. So this key stakeholder group, which became the steering committee for the California Healthy Eating Initiative, started by Mizone, decided that they really need to have a sense of where they were starting. Where were the emergency food network providers in this fight against hunger and addressing nutrition? So they distributed a survey to roughly 100 agencies, and we found some really interesting information. A third of organizations already in California who are part of the Emergency Food Network already had the idea of nutrition or eating healthy in their strategic goals or in their mission. And many of the Emergency Food Network providers were trying to provide nutrition education in some capacity, but nothing was being done in a concerted effort. And we also saw that the California Food Bank Association was probably the leading organization in the country who had been engaging local growers, especially in California. You know, it's such a rich supply of agricultural products, and a lot of things that are not sellable. So they were already in conversation with the farmers, and so, you know, there was a lot of interesting things happening, but not everyone was talking to one another, and not everyone knew what was going on. This assessment also addressed what we all know is a concern. When you start to have any kind of organizational change, immediately the critics or the naysayers or people who are a little intimidated step up and throw out those barriers to you right away. So the barriers that we saw in this assessment, when we wanted to know what we were up against, here are just a few examples. But one thing that was really pervasive was lack of board support. People were really concerned that if they went to their board of directors and said, we want to use our resources differently, that they were going to get pushback. There was also a concern about inadequate funding. You know, immediately they thought, better foods, more money. We're already struggling. Inadequate funding is going to be a concern as well. There's staffing issues. But the biggest thing in the Emergency Food Network that came up was that, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but success had always been measured in pounds. So if you're a food bank and you work at a food bank and you'd go to a conference at another food bank, the first question is, how many pounds of food do you move? So that was this measure of success was pounds of food, but never the quality of the food was being used as a measurement. So it became a very interesting point that we needed to come up with some other way to measure success other than pounds, because quality was really important. So based on this assessment, there were six subcommittees that were formed from the California Healthy Eating Initiative. And the six subcommittees were going to address the issues that were most pervasive in the assessment. So there was a nutrition education subcommittee, there was a food distribution subcommittee, there was an organizational change subcommittee, and then there was also policy and advocacy, messaging, and partnership. And because this was a 2 to 3 year project, the steering committee decided to just focus on three subcommittee topics per year. So the first year, and the information that I'm going to share a little bit more about today, were with the first three subcommittees that I have listed: nutrition education, food distribution, and organizational change. So the organizational change subcommittee decided that they were going to do case studies and look at other organizations and networks that had successfully implemented nutrition into their goals and mission. And so they studied six organizations, and what they saw, the most important qualitative piece of information that we took from the case studies, was that you really need to have board support to move the initiative forward. So they felt it was very important to create a flowchart so that anyone who was going to try to tackle this issue with their board had a tool so they could handle some of the difficult questions that the board of directors could potentially throw back to them. So this tool was developed, this flowchart was developed, and then presented at the annual conference so that emergency food providers who wanted to continue this practice had something to aid them. The other subcommittee was food distribution, and food distribution had a lot of things that they wanted to focus, a lot of goals that they wanted to focus on. And so what they narrowed it down to for activities for this past year was they wanted to decide two things. They wanted to come up with some sort of tool to help educate emergency food providers and also to on what types of food should be distributed or procured at the emergency food program level. And they also wanted to start testing nutrition rating systems so that they could start to come up with a better idea or a different idea to measure success other than in pounds. So as the food distribution subcommittee was starting to look at this task of educating clients, they did some research and they saw that the food banks in New York State, who all work together, they have each food bank in New York State has a nutritionist on staff. And they had been working together on creating this called Rainbow of Choice Guide. And so this was something that was intended for the emergency food provider so that they had something as a reference point when they were packing emergency food bags and giving it to their clients, helping to demonstrate the types of foods that usually found in a food pantry and how you could provide a variety of food. So we also presented this tool to the emergency food providers at the annual conference, and we had some feedback on it and are still adapting it to make sure that it's exactly what the California food bank, or the emergency food programs in California wanted. So then the nutrition education subcommittee, what they found interesting was that a lot of emergency food programs were providing nutrition education, but a lot of times they didn't have the staff, they didn't have a nutritionist on staff, or they didn't have the partnership to work with a cooperative extension person. And so what they wanted was someone to tell them what should we be saying and which information should we be handing out. This is very overwhelming. Our number one goal is to hand out food, and this nutrition education piece, it needs to be more consistent. So the Center for Weight and Health did a pretty in-depth literature review to see what was the most effective methods for nutrition education for low-income individuals. And what they saw and what we found and shared was that we really needed to have multiple sessions and consistency in messages. So what we had done is we created a tool for them. So any staff person, whether they were a nutritionist or not, because that was a concern, they didn't have a nutritionist on staff, could take this tool, look at a nutrition education material that they would want to distribute, go through the tool and see whether or not this nutrition education piece of information was consistent with the messages that they agreed upon and or was appropriate for their audience. So here's an example of the scoring tool for nutrition education materials, also provided at the conference as another way to hopefully help the Emergency Food Network work on nutrition education. There was also a Create a Healthy Plate idea. Now this particular tool was developed by UC Extension, and when we presented this to the emergency food providers at the annual Mazon conference, they loved it. They said that they were so confused by the food guidance system. They just didn't know what to talk about in terms of food groups. But this was something that was very clear to them, that you should have your plate at night, and half your plate should be fruits and vegetables, and your other half of your plate should be grains, meats, and beans. And we put in examples of foods that were distributed in the California Emergency Food Network. And they really enjoyed this tool, thought it was very helpful. The next step is providing all of these Emergency Food Network providers who would like it a large poster that's an erasable poster where they can change the food items from day to day based on the inventory that they have. So in summary, you know, the success to date, we're a year into the project, and it has been collaboration and partnerships and everyone working together and able to learn from one another. Specifically, we're seeing that emergency food providers are creating nutrition committees, they're working on identifying healthier foods through food donations. So we're seeing that the buzz is continuing, and hopefully we're going to make a difference in the Emergency Food Network. So the last things that we're going to be doing, this year is the second year, and we're going to be working on public policy and advocacy and messaging. The Center for Weight and Health is doing a process evaluation, and so at the end of this year, we'll be able to disseminate information on best practices, tools, and lessons learned on ways to improve nutrition quality in the food network. Thank you.